We're talking with Patrick Westhoff, the director of the Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute and a professor at the Department of Agriculture and Applied Economics at the University of Missouri. You have a new study out that looks at, or at least a new report out that looks at both the House Committee and the Senate Farm Bills. Tell us a little bit about what you found between those two bills.
We looked at the major crop-related provisions of the two bills and found that, for the most part, they have pretty similar impacts on agricultural markets, on farm income, and a lot of other indicators. There are some differences related to when payments would occur, the types of conditions that result in the programs having an impact on the market, and some other issues. But for the most part, the impacts are pretty similar between the two bills.
Yeah, and I did notice in the advancer of the report, it talked about the elimination of current direct and counter-cyclical payments. Tell us about what that might mean and I guess how it plays out in each one of the bills.
Yeah, it is obviously a very big deal to go from a world where we've been making these payments since 1996 to a world where they no longer exist. Those are payments, of course, that have been tied to historical base acreage and historical yields on the farm. Instead, the new programs would create policies that would make payments only tied to what farmers try to produce in a given year and tied to market conditions as well. So a very different world than one we've been used to for the past number of years. We do think that's going to mean less predictability in payments. So the payments will go up and go down from one year to the next. There are years where we get very large payments, the next year we may get no payment at all. But those payments would at least hopefully be occurring when farmers have a shortfall in prices or revenues.
If there is some unpredictability about the payments, what kind of risk does that put farmers at? I would imagine that's got to be a pretty concerning provision.
It is a big change from where we've been, obviously. You know, instead of being able to count on a certain number of dollars every year coming in a government check at predictable times, instead you're going to have a situation where you may get a very large payment if you have a drop in prices or yields that causes these new programs to trigger, but there may be other years where we get nothing at all. Now, again, to the extent that those payments are linked to times you need money, that may actually help you smooth out your revenues compared to what you have under current law, where direct payments, of course, don't increase when you have a shortfall. They're the same every year, regardless of whether you're having challenges making your finances work or not.
Since that is such a fundamental change on what we have been doing for years, what are the chances that something like this will make it through for the final version? I mean, is there enough support to make such a big change like that?
I think the end of direct payments is pretty likely to occur at this point. We have both of the bills do indeed call for that to happen. It may or may not happen in 2013. I think there's some real questions about whether or not a new bill can get passed in time for the provisions to take place the 2013 crop year. And as the calendar marches on, it gets less and less likely that there'll be time to pass a new bill in time for the 2013 crops. But I do think it is likely that we'll see the end of direct payments in the not terribly distant future. The question is whether or not, the real question in my mind is whether or not there'll be funding available to support some of these new programs that have been proposed in the two bills.
Well, let's talk a little bit too about some of the modeling you guys have done that shows what would happen if each one of the bills are put in. I guess I'm assuming you did modeling on each one of them standing alone.
That's right. We looked at each of the two bills on its own merits and tried to figure out when it might pay and when those results would have important impacts on farmers and taxpayers and everybody else. There are some differences, and so having a model that will let you look at, a program like the House PLC program, the price loss coverage program, that makes payments when prices fall below a certain level, and that's going to pay out a little bit different circumstances than the Senate ARC provisions, the agricultural risk coverage provisions, that are tied to revenues at a county level. You could have a situation where maybe yields are down dramatically one year, like this year, and that might trigger payment or some circumstances under the Senate provision, but wouldn't under the House. And correspondingly, maybe you're at very low prices that the House provisions might pay out when the Senate would not. So trying to keep all those things straight and evaluate what that might mean for markets was our challenge.
How significant are these two farm bills as far as the overall changes to the system. I mean, we've talked about the elimination of the direct and countercyclical payments, but overall, how much is different than what we saw in 2008 when the last Farm Bill was through and the Farm Bill before that?
Well, I think obviously the budget situation is very different now than it was in 2008, and especially compared to what it was in 2002. And it was just the 2002 Farm Bill just 10 short years ago where we were talking about how much money can we add to the agricultural budget. And now the question is just the opposite. How much are we going to take away from the agricultural budget going forward? And as I said, I think one of the real questions is if the bill doesn't get done real soon, the longer it goes, how much money is really going to be available at the end of the day to pay for new programs. There'll be some who don't want to see those new programs continue come into place, I should say, and there'll be others who will be strong advocates, and whether those are really going to happen, I think it's very much up in the air right now.
Is the American agriculture industry able to absorb the changes, or do you feel that it will be able to implement these changes without having some very adverse side effects?
I think for most of the Midwestern crops, the types of proposals on the table are not likely to result in a wholesale change in the way people do business in agriculture. If corn and soybean producers today, for example, are getting a relatively small share of their income from government payments. So even if government payments, disappeared entirely tomorrow, we're now talking about, a huge change in the overall gross income level of the typical corn or soybean producer. That's not as true for some other crops, especially crops like peanuts, rice, et cetera, that have gotten more of the support from the government in the past. So for those producers of those crops, it's probably a heck of a lot more important just how this debate comes out. There are some important differences between the two bills in how certain commodities are treated and how those differences are resolved in any final agreement will be very important.
Some good information, Pat. I guess anything else you'd like our audience to understand about the two farm bills and FAPRI's analysis of the two?
One thing we found that I think maybe hasn't gotten enough attention so far is just how important the supplemental coverage option idea is. That's something that's in both the House and Senate bills with a little bit different rules of the game in the two bills. And we found that what you assume about participation in that possible new program is incredibly important in trying to estimate what it's going to mean for taxpayers, what it's going to mean for farmers. It does appear to be an option that would be very attractive. It's like an add-on to crop insurance, if you will, that covers part of your deductible under some circumstances. And that's one that has kind of been a sleeper out there that I think we're all having to pay more attention to now, and it may become front and center in the farm policy debate in the next few weeks.
Pat Westhoff from FAPRI, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for the opportunity.